Hello, and welcome to the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. While there, you can join in the conversation about this show. Just search for Built Different podcast in your internet browser. Here now is your host, Zach Clinton, on this edition of the Built Different podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to this week's edition of the Built Different podcast. Man, we hope you guys had a very merry and blessed Christmas celebrating with your family and friends. Guys, I hope you remembered the true reason for the season, which was the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. What an amazing and miraculous story and a reason to celebrate on such an amazing time of the year. You guys, today we have another amazing guest in Jared Pettit. He's actually signed with the Miami Marlins baseball team, and he is a pitcher, left-handed pitcher, within the organization. And man, this dude has a heart for Jesus. He has an amazing story of how he's overcome injuries time and time again. Just an incredible testimony. He comes from a very, very baseball-minded family, which you guys will find out during the interview. But I just want to talk a little bit about what we mentioned as we discussed where our identity truly lies. You see, I played baseball throughout college at Liberty University, so I understand how easy it is to get lost occasionally in finding our worth or our value in the successes that we have on a baseball diamond. So a lot about what we're going to talk about is how easy it is to get lost in that, but also how easy it is just to get lost in any career field, just in general, understanding that we are not what we do, but we are actually who God has created us to be. It's not about what I do, it's about who I am. And so as I was kind of listening back through the interview with Jared, and a lot came to my mind, I started to open up the Bible and I went through Ephesians, and I just wrote some things down from Ephesians chapters 1-2. And I went through a Bible study a while ago that kind of reminded me of these things. So I just want to remind you, my friend, of who you are today. After you read Ephesians 1-2, these are just some things that God tells us about our identity. He says that you are chosen. You are holy and blameless before Him. You are redeemed. You are forgiven. You have an inheritance. You have a purpose in Him. You are transformed. You are a part of the family of God. You are saved by grace through faith. There is nothing that you have done. It's only because of Jesus. You are His masterpiece. You are created in Christ Jesus. You were once hopeless, but now you are able to draw close to the one that created you. You can have peace because Christ's love built a bridge for you to get to God. You are no longer a slave to sin, for Christ defeated it at the cross when He rose from the grave. You have access to the Father through the Holy Spirit. You are never alone because of this. You are no longer a stranger. You, my friend, are welcomed into the family of God, and you are a part of His purpose. I don't know about you, but every time I read through those simple things that God reminds us of who we are and where our identity is, it's refreshing and encouraging to me to understand that I serve a God who wants to remind me of those truths and those promises every single day. And I know that some of you out there may be going through a rough stretch in life. Sometimes it may be painful. Maybe you are placing your identity in worldly things or in what you do and an occupation and other things like that. But I just want to remind you today to take a second to reflect on the truths that I was just able to read, to go open your Bible to Ephesians 1-2, to read them for yourself, and to just soak in and meditate on who God says you are. You are worth it. You are valued. You are chosen. And you are loved. You guys, without further ado, this great episode with my friend Jared Pettit will be coming up right after this short break.
Want to learn more from Zach? You can invite him to speak at your next event. Zach travels all over the nation, inspiring leaders young and old, from students to athletes, military personnel, and more. Zach is passionate about challenging others to push past their limits and lead a built different life. To book Zach for your next event, you can visit zachclinton.com. That's ZachClinton.com.
Welcome back to the Built Different Podcast. Here's your host, Zach Clinton.
Jared, thanks so much for joining us today, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Very excited to be here and talk with you, Zach.
Absolutely, bro. It's so nice to sit down with you, to get to know you a little bit better, and to really talk about a sport that you and I both love, your career, but most importantly, man, just your faith. Up front, Jared, I want to say congratulations. Not too long ago, you signed with the Miami Marlins. Dude, such a big-time moment, I'm sure, in your life. But, dude, what has the transition been like, you know, from college baseball to now it's your job?
Yeah, I mean, it's been – thank you, though. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
But it's been – I mean, it's been incredible. Everything I could ask for, I just feel extremely blessed. The transition, honestly, hasn't been too bad. Like, I mean, I thought it was going to be a little bit different than it has been. But yeah. The Miami organization has done an amazing job of kind of transitioning the new guys into their organization very smoothly. And so it's been great, though, just playing in games. I've got 6 innings under my belt so far.
Nice.
And it's gone really well so far. So, yeah, I mean, it's been awesome. It's been a very smooth transition.
That's awesome, man. We're excited for you. That's for sure. Making this new life transition, like I said, playing now every day like it's your job, but just enjoying it, right? And finding the joy in the midst of a game, because that's really what it is. And that's what we're going to talk about today. But, man, for our listeners, Jared, up front, I know you are no stranger to adversity. You kind of have a crazy college experience that we've talked about before. You started out University of Houston, then you've wind up at Dallas Baptist University, and there was a lot that kind of happened in between there. Tell our listeners what that experience was like for you.
Yeah, so I mean, going into college, I was never like a top recruit guy. I was just a kind of slow throwing lefty that had to rely on the movement of my pitches.
Oh, yeah.
The placement. So it was hard for me going into a big university like the University of Houston and having a bunch of big arms there that were definitely ahead of me. But yeah, I mean, I got there, kind of made my stamp the way I did, and was blessed to be able to be in the talks to be in the starting rotation as a freshman.
Wow.
Which was extremely exciting because I didn't even think that was going to be a possibility, but it was. And then about 3 weeks before the season was starting my freshman year, we were doing also in a bullpen, and my second to last pitch, my whole arm just completely, from my elbow down, just completely went numb.
Wow.
And just sharp pain in my elbow. So obviously as a pitcher and a baseball player, you know, it's like that's, you don't want to feel that.
Right.
And so I ended up threw for about 2 more weeks. And then the pain was just too much while I was throwing. I ended up getting obviously an MRI, and then I tore my UCL and obviously had Tommy John surgery. And for people who don't know what that is, it's a very common surgery among pitchers. And basically you're out for 12 to 16 months, rehabbing that. So went through that whole rehab process, which was a grind, especially as a freshman.
Oh yeah.
You know, thankfully I was close to home.
Yeah.
So I was able to go home a lot, be with the family and stuff. Mm-hmm. But so yeah, started the rehab process, and then about 12 months later, started throwing in live games again, like just kind of scrimmages type situation.
Right.
Doing my rehab starts and stuff, and started to feel a bunch of pain again in my elbow and in my hand, and I was like, oh, here we go again.
Right.
Definitely. I thought for sure I'd blown out again. Thankfully, though, when I had another MRI, they said the ligament was fine, but it was my ulnar nerve that was like just completely like just bound up by my forearm muscle. And so I was having a ton of pain. So they had to cut me back open, go back in, move that. So I had another surgery my sophomore year, and which at that point it was pretty tough because I knew I was going to miss my first 2 seasons of college baseball, and I knew it would bleed into my junior year as well. So luckily, thankfully, I got to rehab that, and it went smoothly, and missed my full sophomore year, half my junior year, got the back end of that, and then obviously senior year, I was fully healthy for my first full season.
Right.
And then COVID strikes, and it's like, oh my gosh, dude. I was fired up because I was in our starting rotation.
Yeah.
It was my first full season, and then COVID hit, and I was like, oh my Lord. I was going to be in college for for 15 years at this rate. Like, I was like, I had all my eligibility still.
Right.
And so I was like, oh my gosh, this is brutal. But yeah, so that was my time at the University of Houston. It was a great time. Loved the guys there. But then, yeah, I just, after that COVID season happened, I graduated. So I had a free year to kind of transfer, and I wouldn't have to sit out. Hmm. So that's when I transferred to Dallas Baptist, and it was an awesome, awesome opportunity.
Man.
But, yeah.
Dude. I mean, those are some hard years right there, especially for like a younger athlete. Like you said, Tommy John surgery, a UCL tear, the surgery on your ulnar nerve, and then the COVID strike. I mean, dude, going through the ringer in a sense, not getting and just waiting your turn. Speak into that for a second to maybe some young athletes that are listening to this real quick. What was that like, having to just wait your turn and remain with that like intense work ethic the entire time?
Yeah, I mean, growing up, my dad has always instilled in us just an absolute grinder mentality, and just anything you do, give it your all and work as hard as you can at it, because nothing's handed to you.
Right.
So I knew if I wanted to continue this journey and continue to play this game that I loved, I was just going to have to put my nose down and get to work, because at that point, when you're in college and you're hurt, the coaches aren't like, they're not worried about you at that point. They got other guys to worry about that are healthy. So you're kind of just on your own. But one thing that helped me was my identity, and I'm sure we'll get into this a little bit more, but my identity has never been in baseball.
Yeah.
And same thing with my brother. Mm. My older brother, he had a bunch of surgeries, and I had to watch him go through all that.
Yeah.
And so he was honestly a guy that I leaned on big time, that I went to talk to about all of it, because I know he went through it. And, yeah, I mean, I saw he handled it extremely well, so – that's where I got all my nuggets from, and try to just take as much as I can from him. But I think the biggest thing was the fact that baseball wasn't my identity. Mm. I think that I was able to handle it pretty well. And I never felt defeated by the fact that I wasn't able to play. You know what I mean? So when your identity's in Jesus Christ and not in whatever sport you play or whatever job your job is, I think when it's like that, I think it's a lot easier to handle.
Amen to that, man. It's so true. When your identity's in a game, which, like you said, we'll get into here in a little bit, but, dude, it gets tough, and you can get lost and spin out of control real quick, because the game of baseball, to those listening, is going to let you down. Time and time again, anything on this earth will let us down. So I'm glad he touched on that. But, man, like you said, you know, I want our listeners to understand. So your dad, Andy Pettit, very well known in the baseball world, baseball legend, right? Played for the Astros, the Yanks. A lot of people know him. And, you know, one thing that I want to dive into here now is mental toughness, because everybody hears about mental toughness. We talk about it in baseball and all sports, really. And baseball is a game of failure, first and foremost, and people need to understand that. We both understand that, right? I got to play college baseball at Liberty for 4 years. I get it, too. But the piece that comes along with mental toughness is this idea of pressure, right? And, man, for someone like you, and I understand this pressure too, there's that added pressure because of who your dad is. So for the listeners that do know, my dad, he runs the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm becoming a Christian counselor. I'm trying to step into his shoes, and I get filling shoes and what that's like, man. But people look at us, right? And they're like, hey, they just expect you to be just like your dad or even better, right? And man, there's so much in understanding, like you said, who you are, where your strengths are, the differences, and different things like that. But, Jared, help us understand, man, how have you been able to really handle the pressure and then be able to manage it and overcome it in your own life?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, I think mental toughness is a thing. I don't think it's a thing where it's like you either have it or you don't. I genuinely think, obviously, I think some people are just mentally tough just to begin with. But for the most part, I feel like in my situation, at least, I feel like I'm pretty mentally tough, but I feel like that got put to the test this past year. In baseball, when I felt very confident going into the season, and kind of things spiraled out of control during with my performance, where I didn't think would ever happen in the way that it did. And so I think just being able to lean back, my dad, like you said, my dad, he played a long time in the bigs, and that's just what I always go back to. He's always told me and my brothers, like, no matter what you do, like if it's baseball, if it's not baseball, no matter what you do, I don't care. If you don't want to play baseball, then I don't care. It's not a big deal. I'm like, I'm not gonna love you less, not gonna love you more, you know.
That's right.
And I'm gonna support you in everything that you do. But he's always instilled us, no matter what, you play for the audience of one. Mm-hmm. And so that was a saying that he had for a long time. And that's just kind of what, that's kind of what I've just tried to instill in my game, is because you can get very caught up in trying, like you said, trying to think what, or listen to what other people think about you, and and kind of how the expectations that you have to live up to. But no, I mean, when you, the expectation is just trying to please Jesus and your Lord and Savior, it just makes everything a whole lot easier. Like, like, I mean, it's, ever since getting into pro ball, a ton of guys have asked me about my dad, or like, like, does it make you nervous that the expectations you have to live up to, which is funny you say it, because I've been asked that a lot in the past couple of weeks. And it's like, honestly, no, like, I'm literally out here, I'm just trying to make a name for myself. I know what my dad's done, and I'm so grateful that he's my dad. I'm proud. I'm so proud of him too. And, but it's like, I'm literally playing for one person, and that's Jesus Christ. And no matter what, I know whatever I do, he's not going to be disappointed in me. So it makes it a whole lot easier for me.
That's right, man. And like you said, you're not Andy's son, right? You're Jared Pettit. And that's the piece that a lot of people have, it takes them a while to grow into. Because like you said, God made you so unique, right? Like I'm saying with my own dad, God made me different than my own dad, right? I'm not Tim Clinton's son, I'm Zach. So it's being able to understand that, and like you said, find our identity in something so much more than a game, so much more than who our parents are, but our identity in Christ first and foremost. What I love about privilege, there's an old quote that says, pressure either bursts pipes or it makes diamonds. And there's another thing that says, pressure is a privilege. And I'm glad you talked about your dad, how he instilled this within you that, hey, you don't even have to play baseball, right? Your worth, your value, my love for you, it doesn't come from a game. Don't even have to do it. But he believed in you, right? So pressure is a privilege. Yeah, you get the pressure, but it's a privilege because you got somebody who believes in who you are. And so, man, I think it's so powerful what you shared. I want to dive into now, Jared, that piece of identity. You already mentioned it, but a lot of young athletes specifically get lost in what we do, right? We find our identity in what we do and not in truly who we are. But what we're talking about here is finding our identity in Christ and understanding who we are because of whose we are. Man, in the toughest moments of life when it seemed like it was spinning out of control for you personally, Jared, how were you able to anchor your identity in him?
Yeah, so being at the University of Houston, just on the baseball aspect, it was a lot tougher because I didn't have a ton of Christian dudes around me, you know, that believe the same stuff as me. But thankfully, when I got to DBU, it's obviously a, it's a Baptist school, and the head coach is an awesome Christian dude, and he's always instilling us, like, hey, your identity is not in this game. It's in Christ. And so, I mean, I honestly feel bad for the kids growing up nowadays just because the social media aspect. It's like everything's just me, you know? So, and that's just the norm now. Like, it's like, that's just how it is. And unfortunately, that's just how it's going to be. But that's what I've tried to steer away from that as much as I can. Like, I don't want to get caught up in the social media aspect, because that's kind of where I feel like things can kind of start to go the wrong way, because I feel like you can, it's very easy to just make everything about you and try to, and kind of like show off your stats, show off videos of yourself, you know? And so I really do. I feel bad for the kids nowadays. And I think the biggest thing that I can just say is just, and I tell my little brother this too, just try not to, try not as much as you can to make everything about you on social media. You know what I mean? Like, don't be posting videos of yourself on social media. Like, nobody, honestly, like, nobody really cares about your videos. Like, who's watching it, you know? So yeah, I mean, I think that, and just being humble, you know, like, I feel like so many times, just to my family, like this past year, if I had to get outing, I'd like, me and my brother, my little brother, always go back and forth and stuff and just kind of nag at each other. And if I had to get outing, I would be like, dude, I was nasty today. And then very next outing, rocked. Get absolutely rocked. ERA shoots up. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's – yeah, I probably deserve that. And so just since being here in Pro Bowl, I've just tried to be the same guy every day. No matter how good I've done or how bad I've done, I just want to kind of be the same guy, same attitude, same work ethic. So, yeah, that's the biggest thing.
I love that consistency, because that's a big piece in identity, in my opinion. And man, when we talk about competition here for a second, I want to add this in to the young athletes out there. Like you're saying, you're trying to remain consistent and compete against yourself every day. I feel like a lot of people, though, can get lost in competing against the other team, right? The other jersey, or even their own teammates, because they're trying to beat each other out for playing time and whatnot. But dude, as you're in pro ball now, that's a transition, because you're just trying to get better every single day, right? Yeah, the numbers and stuff matter, but they're the intangible piece where it's like, hey, at the end of the day, ERA, all that garbage, you could have a great outing and your ERA could skyrocket, right? That's just baseball. Yeah. But man, what is it like for you trying to compete against yourself? And what would you tell a young athlete along those lines of competition?
Yeah, that was honestly the hardest thing for me throughout my college career. I don't know why. I had a hard time with the mental side of when I was on the mound, like kind of trying to be too perfect, like trying, like thinking about what everybody else, or like, is my stuff good enough? You know, like, am I throwing hard enough? Like, all these dudes have always thrown harder than me. So once I got to college, it was like, I got to start trying to throw harder now, you know? Yeah. And then that's when things kind of started to spiral for me command wise. And, but no, I mean, if you're at any point in your career, even like, if you're a little kid or you have aspirations of being a pro baseball player, or even just going to college and playing baseball, you can't worry about what everyone else is doing. You know, the most important thing I can say, I feel like, is literally just, like I said earlier, you just got to put your nose down and get to work. That's the biggest thing that I learned this past year.
Yeah.
For me, even a fifth year in college, I was going out there and I was chasing velo because we have some big arms at DBU, and I'm like, I got to try to keep up with these guys. And then, and then next thing I know, I'm in the bullpen and I'm kind of more of a back end dude that wasn't getting as much playing time as I wanted to, because I'm over here trying to do what, worry about what other guys are doing, worry about how other guys' stuff looks compared to mine. Even though I knew deep down that my stuff was good enough, but when I would go out there, I would try to be like other people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And absolutely. So, I feel like I'm starting to finally figure it out. Like, hey, you're here for a reason, you know? Mm. So there's no reason for me to try to go be someone that I'm not. Because you're never going to be able to be someone you're not, you know?
That's right.
You are who you are, and that's good enough. So I think just being yourself and staying true to yourself and not trying to be like other people. And I think that's, as Christians also, what we're called to do. And so it can be very easy in the world that we live in today to kind of try to please other people. And like I said earlier, with social media, like, everything's kind of made up to what it's actually not. So I think just being yourself and, like I said earlier, just playing for an audience of one and just never trying to change who you are.
That's right.
When it comes to other people as well. So,
I mean, the Lord even says, I have formed you in your mother's womb. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, right? Like you're saying, be yourself, put your nose down, get to work. And I love what you're saying, though, know who you are, right? Be able to assess your strengths, your weaknesses, and don't try to be something you're not. It's okay. You are more than enough just the way that God made you. Regardless if you're an athlete, whatever occupation, you can do anything you set your mind to. Man, I feel like I could talk to you all day, especially about baseball and all sorts of different stuff. Jared, had a blast already, but man, just in closing, you know, I'm not naive enough to understand there is somebody out here listening today that is going through a really tough time, right? They're going through a really high pressure situation. Life's really tough. Their back's up against the wall. They feel pinned down. Life isn't just the way it's supposed to be anymore, Jared, right? They're going through something really hard. But as you and I both know, life is all about relationships. Daniel 3 is one of my favorite passages of scripture. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, man. And when they get thrown in the furnace, right? God gives us friends for the fire, but then also understanding that there was a fourth man in the fire, right? God is always in our midst, even in the tough times, even in the pressure situations. No matter what, he is always there. So, Jared, just in closing, how do you personally stay anchored in your faith and press into the relationships that God has, like, really pressed into your life specifically to know your why and to really help us live a life that is more built different?
Yeah, for sure. Thankfully for me, my whole family, we've all grown up in the church and stuff. And obviously my mom and dad are huge believers and have a strong walk with Christ. And so for me, I know I can always turn to them. Yeah. But I mean, for people who, because obviously there's a ton of people out there who don't have that.
Yeah.
And maybe there's people that will be listening that aren't necessarily plugged into their church or plugged into to God's word like they should be. I know for me, when I first got to Florida, I was like, with all COVID stuff going on, I get tested 2 times a week.
Yeah.
I know when I first got here, I was like, okay, I'm just going to watch church online. I'm not going to like go out or anything, like be around a bunch of people. I don't want to risk it. I don't want to test positive and have to be out for 14 days. And so for me, when I did that the first week and I skipped church and I just watched it online, I was like, man, dude, I was like, I'm really like grinding over this. I was like, right. I was feeling very convicted. I was like, like in my head, there were 3 things I was feeling convicted about, and it was going to church, like in person.
Yeah.
Being in the word more, because I wake up at 6 a.m. every morning, so it's like,
right,
I don't want to wake up at 5 and start to read my Bible, you know? So right. It's being in the word, and then just like Christian fellowship. And I remember I was listening to Craig Rochelle. I always just click Craig Rochelle messages like on YouTube every now and then just watch if I'm just bored or something. And literally the 3 things he was talking about was like being plugged into a church, being plugged into God's word, and having Christian fellowship. And I was like, all right, this is like, oh, I got to start going back. And so, yeah, I was like, you know what? Forget about it. If I get COVID at church and I get COVID at church, I was like, baseball is not the most important thing. And it's something I have to keep reminding myself every day. But I think those 3 things are the biggest things that for as Christians that we need to always focus on is literally just being in the word of God every day. And being plugged into a church, a local church, and having good Christian fellowship. So I think if you can find those three things, I know for me, that's what keeps me grounded. And honestly, the biggest thing for me too is worship music. Literally anytime, like I just stick in my headphones and just listen to worship music to start my day off. And I feel like it just keeps me on the right foot. But yeah, I think the biggest thing, like you said, is just the relationships that you have. And I think you can only find that kind of stuff when you're plugged into like a church or a Bible study or something like that.
That's great, man, because like you're saying, I feel like a lot of people, we live this Christianity, this Christian faith in comfort and convenience, right? But the best things in life, they cost us something, right? They take time, they take effort, they take all of these different accolades and different things off our shoulders, and that's what Jesus wants. He wants us to get plugged into the church, to dive deep into his word, and to find Christian fellowship. Jared Pettit, man, thank you so much just for joining us today, for your time. Dude, we're praying for and with you, like I said, during this transition. Cannot wait to keep up with you and the rest of your career and just all that you have going on. So thanks so much for joining us, man.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all having me.
Absolutely. Man, everybody, what a powerful and fun interview to hear a little bit about what Jared's doing and in through baseball and how he's allowing God to use that as his ministry platform, but also to hear about how he's able to work through some of the pressures, unique pressures that he experiences on a daily basis, but also how he just finds his identity and finds it just wrapped in Christ and not in baseball and not in what he does, but in who God says that he is. And I challenge all of us today as we're entering into a new year of 2022 to find our identity in Christ and to remind ourselves every single day, it's easy to get lost. It's easy to get knocked off track. It's easy to lose sight and lose focus of where God has us or who God says that we are. But I challenge us today to stop that and to take a moment to say, you know what? I am who he says I am. You guys, as we enter into a new year, I kind of want to build off of something that I talked about in last week's episode with Coach Richie McKay, which was talking about being a person who's committed to the process. Because let me tell you something, when January 1 rolls around, I'm sure all of you out there listening right now, you have big dreams, you have big visions, and you have New Year's resolutions for 2022. And I want to talk on that for just a second because I want you to understand that you can't just say yes to the initial commitment and not understand the cost of what you're going to have to give to that initial commitment to then see it through or to finish it. And that's through consistency. That's through preparation. That's through perseverance. We have to keep trucking along and we have to never give up. That's the mentality that we have to take into the new year. So yes, it's great to have a resolution. It's great to say yes on January 1, but let me tell you something, it's easy to say yes on January 1. It's easy to wake up and go to the gym because it's exciting. It's that day one energy. Thousands of other individuals across the country are going to be joining you. I promise you, the gym is going to be packed that first week of January, but it will start to dwindle out, I promise, by week two and three. And are you going to be committed to the process? Are you going to show up? It's going to be easy to say, you know what? Hey, Zach, I'm going to read a devotional every single day, 365 days this year. I'm going to be in God's Word. I'm going to try to go through the Bible chronologically. But when you feel tired, when you don't feel like doing it, it's going to be hard. It's going to be easy to say, hey, Zach, I'm going to try to read as many books as I can throughout the year. Let's try to read a chapter a night, and let's see what that's like. The first couple weeks, I promise, you'll crack open a book or two. But when it gets hard, when you don't feel like it, I'm trying to tell you, my friends, and it's still within you, you have to buy into the process. Don't be result-driven. When we're result-driven, what we do is we lock our eyes in on something, and then if we don't ever achieve it, we actually start to feel like a failure. We start to feel like our identity was in and wrapped around this one thing, this object, this worldly thing. But when your identity is in something greater, when you have a greater purpose in mind, or when you are purpose or process-driven rather than result-driven, I promise you, you not only will accomplish more, but you will be more satisfied in your life. Be committed to the process without being emotionally attached to the results. Don't just commit to it. Be consistent in and see it through, my friends. You can do this. Let me tell you one more thing that I've been hearing a lot recently. The definition of endurance is actually to battle your way through something patiently. You're not always going to see the results overnight. I know we want to because that would be a lot easier if we could, but even if you're just getting 1% better every single day, even if you're working toward a common goal and you don't see the results that day or that week or that month, come December 31st, 2022, you will have made such progress if you just buy in to the process. Progress is attached to process, I promise. As always, you guys, I love you. I'm so thankful for you. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time on the Built Different podcast. Happy New Year.
Hi there. This is Jessica from the Built Different podcast team. As a reminder, you can listen to this show on your favorite podcasting platforms, such as Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Podcast, and Stitcher. Whatever platform you choose, please remember to subscribe to the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton. Also, if you happen to catch the show on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review. Thanks again for tuning in to the Built Different podcast.